Listen to him. I tell you, he's been so good to me. He's blessed me with a fine wife, a godly wife. Blessed me with a godly daughter that's in church, serving the Lord, and I just thank him so much. Being so good to me, he don't have to, but I sure am thankful that he is, and I love him tonight for that, because he's been so good to me. Like it says in John chapter 15 or something like that, it talks about the greater love. Greater love hath no man than a man that will lay down his life for friends. And when he laid his life down for me, right at 2,000 years ago, a little more than that, he called me his friend when he was on Calvary's cross. And I thank him for that. I didn't know he was my friend. But then, in August of 1980, he became my friend. He's been my friend down through the years, and I try to do my very best to please him. I know that I come short every day, but I do try my very best to please him. And, you know, this day and time, you can go out into the world and even on the job or whatever. And, you know, I mean, people like that know that you're a Christian, know that you're in church, know that you love the Lord and everything, and know that you're trying to live the life before him. But yet, they're turning right around him. Use the Lord's name in vain. Use the Lord's name in vain. They'll damn God, but they won't damn the devil. I mean, because he looks so great to them because of all the beauty that he's showing them. But here tonight, if you will, for a few moments tonight, turn to the book of Revelations, chapter 1. The book of Revelations, chapter 1. In verses 17 and 18 there. And then I'm going to be reading there in Luke chapter 4. In verse 18. But here in Revelations chapter 1. Verse 17 and verse 18, it says this: "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." This is the Lord Jesus right here speaking. And he has in his hands, and he still has them today, the keys to hell and to death. But over here in Luke chapter 4 and verses 18, it says this: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set it at liberty them that are bruised. Verse 19, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Our Father, we thank you tonight, Father, for just allowing us to be in your house once again. And Father, we thank you, Father, for the scriptures that we've just read. And Father, we pray tonight, Lord Jesus, that you may speak through me. Speak to my own heart, Father, and speak to the hearts of the people. That yes, there's some things that we must do, and there's some things that we must tell. And Father, we want to thank you for everyone that showed up. Lord, they could have been doing something else tonight, but they chose within their own faith, in their own selves, to be in the house of the Lord, to learn a little more about you, Father. So, Father, we pray, God, that you'll give us the words that we may say, that they may be encouraged in the days ahead. And Father, we're looking for that glorious day when your Son, Jesus Christ, will step out on the cloud and he called his bride home, called his church home. And Father, we that are saved by the grace of God, we are the bride, we are the church. The church is not established on any mortar, any bricks, any carpet, any wood, any wires, or anything else. But the church is established through the body, through the people. And we must come together as united one to another, in one accord, and just believing and trusting in what you're going to do. Father, we're looking forward to what you're aiming to do here at Faith Baptist Church. And God, we're so excited in what you're going to do. Because, Father, I know, Lord, that you do nothing that's wrong. You do nothing that will bring any kind of a mess or mistake to it or anything. And, Father, tonight, we ask thy blessings upon the service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want to bring you a message on this thought. The land where people never go free. There is a land where it's not mentioned much anymore about, to where people is going to be involved there, but they're not going to be free. They're not going to be free of their own self. They're not going to be free of sin. They're not going to be free of discouragement, because they're not going to be in heaven. And we must do our part as saints of God, as believers, in trying to win the lost for Christ's sake. That's the reason he has established the local church today, that the local church may go out with a body of people and spread the gospel to all, to the whole world, not just to here in this little community right here, but wherever we're at, we're supposed to spread the gospel. We're supposed to tell someone about the good news. The good news is nothing but the death, the burial, and the resurrection. It's the gospel. And we must stand on the gospel. If we don't stand on the gospel, we don't stand on anything at all. We don't have no principle. We don't have no character. We don't have anything. But he has the keys that will lock all the saved out of hell. There is no way under the sun that a saved individual would ever be cast into hell. The Word of God teaches us also that you are born again and you're born once. The blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to your life one time. But Paul says that he asked the Lord Jesus to crucify him daily. What Paul means by that is crucifying him daily is, other words, going to him and asking him to do the work in his life that needs to be done. Sometimes we'll go out here and we want to do something and the Lord's just not in it. We have to make sure that God is in it. We have to make sure that the Spirit of God is in it. And we need to try the spirits, because we have two different spirits. We have the Spirit of God, and then you have the spirit of the devil. Now, a whole lot of people, they get them mixed up, and they get them twisted around and everything. And the reason for that is because they do not know that much about the Scripture. They don't know anything at all. They don't get in God's Word and study the Scripture. We must get in it and study the Scripture. We must read it. Whether we understand it or not, we should not read it. And it was, well, I don't understand that. And you'll go back and you'll reread it. You'll go back and you'll reread it. And you might go back and read it 15 to 20 times. And you still, that's all you get out of this, what it's saying. It hasn't give you nothing else. It hasn't give you a little nugget there that you can take and be able to use it for that day. And the reason for that is, I believe within my own heart and my own soul, is because we have not come to that place in our life that where we need that. We may not need that verse. At this time, we don't need some of the verses in the Word of God. Why? Because we know what we must do. It's some things that we do not have to pray about. We should not never have to pray about being faithful to God. We should not have to pray about our tithing and giving a portion back unto God. We should never have to pray about us, about praying for somebody else or going out here and visiting and inviting people to the house of God. There are things that are commanded by God for us to do. We should not have to pray for them. We should not have to pray for, well, Lord, I just don't know if I can make it to church tonight. Lord, would you please help me tonight that I can make it to church? Hey, I used to be that way. After I first got saved, I was at home, and I'd be at home on Sunday, and I'd get up in the morning, and I'd feel so bad and everything, and I wouldn't go to church. Then I'd go to work on Monday. Didn't keep me out of work on Monday. Why? Because, see, Monday, if I worked all week, see, I was getting a paycheck at the end of the week. See, if we're faithful to God, if we're faithful to God's house, we are not getting a paycheck per se, but he is storing up some things there in heaven one day that we're going to be able to see them. And we're going to be able to receive them. We may not see any of the outcome down here, but one day we may get to heaven, and I may get to heaven, or you may get to heaven, and somebody may come up to you and say, thank you for praying for me. Thank you for telling me about the good news. We don't know. We do not know who gets saved and who don't.
What our problem is that if we go out and we visit or we witness to someone, our problem is, my problem is, I will say this. That when I go out and talk to someone, then I think that they have need to go on and surrender to God. They need to get saved right then. And if they don't get saved right then I failed God. No, I didn't fail God because I went out and planted a seed. You know, you can have this, like the parking lot idea. You know, we got cracks in the parking lot, and we got grass that's growing up. We know that. But what do we have to do to conquer that? What do we have to do? We have to get to the point sometime and say, hey, we're going to put another covering over it. We're going to put another covering over it. If we don't put anything over it, naturally it's going to continue to grow through. It's going to continue to crack. It's just like a lie. If we stay at home, if we don't go out and visit, if we don't get on the phone and call someone. And I know some of you just don't feel like it. And I understand that God knows. God knows what you can do and what you can't do. God knows what I can do and what I can't do. God's not going to ask me to do something if I can't do it. If he sees it where I'm not able to do it, God's not going to ask me to do it. I mean, I could go out here tonight and I could say, well, I'm gone. I'm going to be late going home tonight. I've got to get that tired. Now, am I going to try to go out there? And am I going to try? I'm going to try my very best to lift it high up so maybe Brother Bill could maybe put some cinder blocks up under it where it'd make it easier for us to meet change the tire. No, that's foolish thinking. I can't lift that car. But see, if God, you know, if God wanted me to lift the car, then God would also have been spoke to me before I go out there. But we don't need to be foolish in thinking what we can do is going to be the right thing. We don't know. Only thing we must do is just go and plant that seed. Because see, up until we plant that seed, the devil's got a hold of them. The devil's going to destroy them. Yes, they may say, oh, well, I'm okay. I'm living a fine life. I have this and I have that and everything. They don't realize, but the devil has got them by the neck and strangling them every minute. He wants to tear them down. He wants to destroy them. Why does he want to destroy them? It's because God the Father destroyed him there in heaven. And he wants to get even with God. Well, he's in a battle that he's going to lose. He's already lost a battle. He lost a battle before he even started it. But we should not allow the devil to have such a grip on us that will hinder our walk with the Lord. These keys will lock the lost into a place of darkness. Not only does Jesus Christ have the keys to hell and death, and them keys are there, and he has them, why? To lock us out of the torment. But on the other hand, for the one that rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, he's got the keys to heaven.
And the keys to heaven is locked until they say yes to God. Until they come and they say, God, yes, I believe in what your son done. I believe in what happened there at Calvary. And what happened there at Calvary is that your son gave his very life for my soul. He went all the way for me. He just did not go up the hill, up Golgotha's hill, carrying the cross. And when he got to, and when he got up halfway up to it, and when he stumbled there, and he lost his balance or whatever, and then had, I believe it was John, and he took up the cross, and was helping him carry it. No, when he got to that point where he stumbled and the cross, the weight of that cross was getting so heavy and everything. He didn't come out and say, Donnie, I went as far as I could go. I can't go no farther. No. He went all the way. Why did he go all the way? Because that was what God the Father asked him to do. God the Father commissioned him to go all the way. And then when he was hanging there on the cross, what did they offered him? Vinegar. And they offered him this and offered him that. Even his own father turned his back on his son that day. When darkness comes, I believe that's when the father turned his back on his own son that day. Why? Because he could not look upon sin. He could not look upon sin. And that goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. Goes all the way back then. We see where Moses went up, and what did he do? He went up on a mountain, and he was up at the burning bush. And Moses said, I believe I saw the face of God. Then what did God say to him? He said, no, you did not see the face. You did not see my face. I mean, that's basically what he was saying, but it's not the very word. He says, no, you're seeing my hinder part. You could not look upon my face. Because if you did, you could not live. If you looked upon my face, you would die. Why? Because he was pure. He was pure. And as Moses and Noah and Abraham and all of them, as much as they love God, God will not change anything at all about the way of living for them. God will not change it. Say, well, since you're doing such a good work, I'm going to allow this to come about. Even in the book of Job, what did Job? Job was a righteous man. I mean, hey, what did Job say? Job said, well, Lord, why is all this coming to me? And I think the Lord was testing Job just like he tests anybody. Like he tests Abraham, like he tests Moses, like he tests David, like he tests Paul, like he tests me, like he tests you. He don't test each one of us in different ways and in different avenues of life for us to get closer to him. We need to get closer to the Lord. How do we get closer to the Lord? The only way I believe we can get closer to the Lord is allow him to put a little glimpse in our eyes and what's to come for the unsaved. I mean, hell is, it's real. It's real. I mean, just like we went, when we went over there that Saturday night and saw that play over there at Brother James' community. I looked all over heaven for you. You know, that was a drama, that was a program that where men had put together where people could see what was going on. And as far as I know, and scripture-wise, they were about as close to scripture as I know of. But what we saw that night, yes, it was a practice, and they practice. They just don't say, well, we got to go to a dabble tonight, so we got to leave it by 9 o'clock this morning to get out of. Oh, so we had time enough to get there and get the bus unloaded and all of that, get things set up. No, they practiced during the week and everything. They practiced why? Because of the program that they was going to put on. That's what we're supposed to be doing as Christians now. We're supposed to be practicing what is to come. And I know that was just a drama. But one day that's going to be reality. It's going to be reality to all of us. And we're going to wonder sometimes, why couldn't I see this? Why couldn't I see this? That writing about. Some things that he will not reveal to us. Some things he won't reveal to me. He may reveal it to you, but he won't reveal it to me. Not until I go through that time in life that I need him.
Here, Luke in chapter 9, verse 26, it says this, "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me, and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory, and in his Father, and of the holy angels." In verse 27, "But I tell you of the truth, this being some standing here, which shall not taste of death, till they see the kingdom of God." No one is going to taste the death of hell until they get to the judgment. The judgment seat of God. And the white throne, the white throne judgment. It's where all the lost is going to stand before God. And God is going to ask them, like it says over there in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. I believe it is. No, I ain't got it wrote down. But Matthew chapter 7. Just a minute. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, 22, and 23. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them,
I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. We have some false prophets out here. We have some false teachers out here. We have some false teachers out here is trying their very best to teach the Word of God, but they cannot teach it. Why? Because they're not saved. Why? Because they want to look good themselves. When God the Father, when He looks down on me, He looks on me as a filthy rag. That rag where somebody had took a hole to and took it and wiped the mud up. And then when I did wipe the oil up, and then I did wipe this up, and then the rag. You can't even tell it where it was wiped. Why? Because it's so filthy. That's what I look like toward God, as filthy rags. Yes, I'm saved, and I know I'm saved. And I know where I'm going. I don't have no doubt about that. I'm going to heaven. I'm not going to hell. And I'm going to say it right here, but please, if you say it to anybody else, well, just explain yourself when you do. I'll say it this way myself. Let me tell you how saved I know I am. I can't go to hell if I wanted to. No way. He saved me one time and one time only. When God does it, He does it right the first time. He does not have to come back and do it a second time. And amen. He don't have to come back and say, well, Donnie, the first time, they're at the house, I know you called on me. And I believe you're saved. I know you're saved. But it's one thing that I think I forgot about. I forgot about telling you that I'm going to leave someone with you, and I'm going to be going away. And I'm going to leave the comforter that can comfort you in your days to come, the months to come, the years to come. No, He's not going to come back that way and tell me that again. No, He done it right the first time. He exactly accepted me the way I was, and I had to get to the lowest point in my life. I had to get so low that when that old serpent, the devil, and where turned into a snake, where when he crawled, he did not crawl over me. No, he stretched out long enough and flat enough to where he could just go right under my back. Why? Because he saw a crevice there. He saw a little opening there. He saw a little light on the other side. He said, if I get in that way, I've got it. We must never, 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 never be ashamed of what He's done. We should never be ashamed of the salvation He give us so rich and so free. We should never be ashamed of the service that He's asked us to do. We should never be ashamed of what He expects out of us. We should never be ashamed of Him. Why? Because He was not ashamed of me. He wasn't ashamed of you. And I thank God for that. Because really, what I deserve hell. I don't deserve his kindness. I don't deserve his love. I'm free. I'm free of all the pain, all the agony, all the sorrow. I'm free of all of the discouragements. Why? Because I can come and I can lay them at the feet of Jesus. And if I leave them there, he'll take care of them. But if I pick them up and if I take them back to the seat with me, he's not going to do nothing with them. Because he's going to be fighting against you. And you're going to be fighting against him. Because you don't want to give up what he wants you to give up. But he wants us to give it up. Why? So it'll help us mentally, physically, and spiritually. Everybody stand with the head bowed and eyes closed. Now, Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, once again, that we could be in thy house this evening. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for thy precious word. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for speaking to my own heart tonight. And Father, we pray, Lord, that the hearts of the people, the Father, that they learned a little something else tonight that will help them, Father, in the days to come, the weeks to come. Father, that they can be strengthened and encouraged about it. And Father, that they can be encouraged in serving you. And Lord, we just want to thank you for what you're doing here at Faith Baptist Church. I know, Father, we haven't seen a whole lot of presence of people coming in, but we have seen people come in. But the people that are here, I believe that they love God. I believe, Father, that they love you and they love your Son and they love the Holy Spirit. Now, Father, as they love it and as they come to church and, Father, as they're faithful to thee, we pray, Father God, that you will help the church. We cannot do nothing here at the church without thy help. And Father, I know in a couple of weeks we're going to be having a community day or whatever you want to call it, where people in the community or around can come out. And maybe they can come out for a hot dog or refreshments or whatever. But Father, as soon as they drive on the pavement of this parking lot here, Father, we pray, God, that the Holy Spirit will grab a hold of the heart. Speak to them in a, only that the Holy Spirit can speak. Bring conviction to the heart that they may be saved. We know that the only way people can be saved is a drawing of the Holy Spirit unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen.
How many want to go to heaven tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hey, I ain't got nothing here to keep me. Because I know if I go, if he comes back after me tonight, and he comes back after his church tonight, praise God, I'm going. My wife's going to be right there with me. My daughter's going to be right there with me. My mother's going to be right there with me. And I'm going to go home and have a wonderful prayer to you. And I've kept faith in my life.
one thing, if it ain't metal, I'm going to use some good country language. If you ain't metal, get in the house of God and shout it, or lift your hand, I promise you one thing, when you get there, when you go through the gates there in heaven, you're going to be the first one that's going to shout. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. How many expect God to do that?